Hi, this is Andrew Phillips. Thank you for downloading the Graymere Church of Christ Sermon Podcast. If you have any questions or if you'd like to contact us, check out our website at graymere.com. We'd also love for you to visit with us in a worship service. You're always welcome at Graymere Church of Christ.
Good evening to you. I appreciate the opportunity to speak tonight, especially the opportunity to give you a report about our recent trip to Arizona. I appreciate so many things about Graymere, but especially when it comes to our mission work. I appreciate our interest in that. I don't know many other missions ministers, so I appreciate having that opportunity here. As I mentioned this morning about the giving from last week for our special project, building project in India, over $28,000 above our normal contribution was given for that. And it's just amazing to see what this congregation can do and the difference that we can make in the world for the gospel of Christ. And so I'm thankful for you and for all that you do. I will probably report more than preach tonight, if that's okay with you, but I do want to place an image in your mind as I speak tonight of walls being torn down. Of course, as you already know, and as you'll hear, part of our trip to Arizona involved a wall being torn down. But when I think about mission work in general, generally speaking, mission work's all about barriers and solutions, or problems being presented and finding a solution to overcome that problem. And so that's something that we tend to see, whether it's a mission trip or whether it's a church plant, or regardless of what type of mission it is, it just seems like there's constantly barriers that come up, and we've got to find ways to overcome them. And as we think about the gospel going out from us to the rest of the world, a lot of times there's barriers that even we have to overcome in order to convince ourselves to help take the gospel to the world. But let's put that image in our minds tonight and think about some of the barriers that present themselves in mission work. Before I get into the report of our actual trip, I will give you, some of you haven't been here for the last 6 years of our work with the church plant in Arizona. So I will give you a brief history of that work. In my first few years here back at Graymere, we started thinking about what we wanted to do with our mission work, and we decided we want to plant a church that can plant a church that can plant a church. And the idea being, we want to plant self-sufficient churches. We want to plant works that can go on and replicate the process themselves. Rather than 30 years from now, I really don't want to look back and see us still working in the same locations. We'd like to see those works grow. And one of the first barriers that presented itself was, well, if we want to plant a church, well, where do you find the best missionaries? And it's a question that I still don't quite know how to answer completely. The short answer I would give is that God provides. God gives opportunities, and when those opportunities present themselves, we've got to be ready to go with it. And that was the case with Josh and Divine Austin. Of course, we had a history with them before, and when I met them for the first time in about 2012, we started talking about different ideas of what we wanted to do and what they wanted to do. Josh, of course, growing up in Kayenta on the Navajo Reservation, of course, he is not Navajo. Josh is as white as me, but grew up in a missionary family, and they're working on that reservation. But one of the ideas that he had was he had, over his time coming back and preaching in that church, he had seen so many of the natives moving to the city. And so there was a desire to plant a church in Phoenix, a church that would focus on Native Americans. So it was interesting to see that plan. By the end of 2013, that plan becomes a reality. The Austins have moved to Phoenix, and Graymere has taken over oversight or partnership with them in that plan. The goal is to plant a church there in the Mesa, Phoenix area to focus on Native Americans. And it continued to sort of be problem and solution, really two primary problems that just keep presenting themselves. And what I've come to notice over the last 6 years is that really these problems, they just work hand in hand. When you solve one, it creates another problem. And then when you solve that one, it gives an opportunity for the other one to become a problem. And that is needing space for the church and needing helpers. You know, when you get enough space for them and you work and fill that space up, well, then you need more workers to work with all these new Christians. And when you get new workers that are working, that creates more people, and so then you need more space. So I've realized that we're really just creating the same problem over and over, and it's a good thing, and I'm okay with that being a constant thing that we have to overcome, is space and workers. But in 2014, they quickly outgrew their living room where the church was meeting, and they understood they needed a bigger space. They understood they needed more workers, so they began meeting on the Pima Maricopa Reservation that's sort of right there in the middle. If you look at a map, it's right there in the middle of Phoenix, Mesa, Scottsdale, all of those different communities. Then they had a younger missionary family that came in and wanted to help them. Mission work's tough. The young family came in 6 months later. Young family moved out, decided they didn't want to be missionaries. So again, problem and solution, they keep coming around. By 2015, it's time for more barriers, more walls to be torn down. If you can't find missionaries, then we decided, well, we need to produce our own missionaries. And so, problem, solution, Evan and Crystal Totocini, who you've met, they've been here to visit with us. They're converted by Josh, and this young couple is just amazing, and their evangelistic zeal and all that they're doing for the church. That they solve temporarily that problem of needing more help, but then they get so involved in the work, end of 2015, they leave and decide they're going to the Bear Valley Bible Institute to prepare themselves for more work that they can do. Also in 2015, we met some resistance from the officials of the reservation who didn't expect the church to thrive and to grow as it did. And so a lot of times that church would show up at the community center for worship, and maybe the guy with the key wouldn't show up until an hour later to open the door. Maybe he wouldn't show up at all. So we had another problem. We got to find more space. 2016, we decided to help them move off the reservation. They rent two spaces in a strip mall there in Mesa, and literally we had to take down a wall and prepare that space for the church. And it's interesting, once they moved off the reservation and got their own space, there's something interesting about how a church building or how a permanent space legitimizes, in the eyes of the public, it legitimizes this church plant. There were lots of Christians people they were converting, but there were also lots of Christians living around this location that were driving much further to other congregations. But all of a sudden, once this little church plant has got a permanent space, all of a sudden, a lot more folks start moving in as well. So there's something interesting about a permanent space, and that helped the church to grow. We get to 2017, and the Totocinis come back from Bible school, and they're there now. They're working on a 5-year plan, continuing to work with Salt River. But again, you get more workers, that creates more growth. So 2018, we start having growing pains. With that current space, with the wall torn down, they had a capacity of about 100, but all of a sudden, they're very cramped again. And so that gets us to where we're at now, 2019, with our trip out in April. The church managed to secure another space that came available right next door. So what we needed to do was, again, to literally tear down another wall in order to create more space. You know, I mentioned we want to plant churches that can grow and not just create more and more dependence upon us. It's interesting, the addition of that space added about $1,000 a month of rent, but the church there picked that up, not us. So that's interesting to see them growing and picking up, taking responsibility for their own needs. So let me tell you a little bit about our trip out there this past April. How far have you ever traveled for worship in one day? I don't know if we set any records, but we traveled 1,600 miles on a Sunday morning, March 31st, to get to worship for the 10 a.m. Sunday worship at Salt River. And I'll tell you, these kids are smiling here once we've arrived, but nobody was smiling at me at 3 a.m. in the morning when I told them we were leaving. But it was a long trip, but it's possible. It's interesting how good transportation is now, that we can leave on an early Sunday morning and we can be in Phoenix, Arizona for worship. We had a good group of folks. We had 47 total that went with us on this trip this year. 38 are members here at Graymere. So we're so thankful for that participation. We're thankful for so many of you who made that possible. So many of you help with the expenses of those 38 that are going. So we appreciate that. But it's definitely a time commitment. It's a financial commitment. But we appreciate all of those who made this trip with us. Notice the smiling faces and everybody so excited to get there on Sunday morning. I wish this was a close-up photo, but by Sunday evening, those same kids are all sitting there miserable because they've been up since 1 a.m. In some cases, they never went to sleep. So it's interesting just to see what that distance of travel can do to us by the end of the day. You know, when you think about mission work and barriers, one that we have to overcome is fear. You know, especially as adults, we're so afraid to do things that are out of the ordinary. The older I get, the more trouble I keep having with this. I went into my favorite restaurant one morning recently, and I've got my table that I sit at. I mean, there was only one table that was occupied in there, and it was my table, and I sat there and stood there and didn't know what to do because we get in such a routine. I think the same thing is true when it comes to evangelism and sharing our faith. We get into such a routine that we're just deathly afraid to do something that's out of the ordinary. But I love the fact that we take so many young people with us on these trips, because we can teach them that not to be afraid of that. We can make sharing their faith a normal part of their routine from an early age. So I'm thankful for so many young kids going with us. Every morning, or actually every day on this trip, we had different activities that we were doing, but every morning we start off with a morning devotional. You see Caleb Nutt there kicking it off for us, getting us started with that devotional time. And after a good night's sleep, this is Monday morning that he's speaking, and you can see lots of smiles. Everybody's happy once they've gotten food in their belly and gotten sleep. Everybody's ready to work. But Monday, you know, we mentioned we've got lots of different activities going on this trip. Monday is a day of evangelism for us. Monday's activity is going to be door knocking as the primary thing, door knocking specifically on the reservation. And so that, you look at this photo and you might ask, what is going on there? What's going on there is mass confusion. This is probably the most difficult day or moment of a mission trip for me. That's when we get to Arizona and we get to the reservation and we've all got maps and everybody's divided into teams and they're coming to me and saying, now where do I go? And I'm saying, don't you remember I was on the plane with you coming from Tennessee? I don't know. I don't know Arizona. And then you got, you know, the rest of their teammates that are standing there wondering, are we ever going to get going? And then by the time they're ready, some of their teammates have climbed up in trees and they can't find one another. First day is a day of organization, and we get out and try to knock all of the doors on the reservation. When you think about this reservation, it's called the Salt River Pima Maricopa Indian Community. It's actually two separate tribes that have sort of merged, and they share this territory together. But there's only just under 10,000 people that live on the reservation. That might sound like a lot, but it's really not when you've got a team of about, with the locals there, when you got a team of about 75 people out knocking the doors, it doesn't take very long to knock that many doors. However, these homes are very spread out, so it actually takes a full day, but it is a task that we're able to accomplish in one day. And we did that. So on that first day, we were able to knock every single door. We usually have sort of a script of what we try to do. If you remember back from our big campaign that we had here in 2016, we're knocking on that door. We have something we're offering them. In this case, we're advertising our evening service where Chad was doing the active digital parenting seminar. So we're knocking on that door, we're inviting them to that, and there's always food that we're offering. Then we ask them if we can pray with them. If you get that far, then we ask for a Bible study. And we're all about making contacts. If we don't get a Bible study set up, that's okay. But we've had such success there in making contacts for the church to follow up with afterwards. So that's mainly what we're doing when we're going to these doors and knocking on them. Lunchtime each day, we meet at the what they call the Canal Side Meeting or Community Center. This is where the church used to meet when they met on the reservation. And why is he showing us a photo of lunch? Well, I want you to notice Stinson Osif that's there. What I see here is not really lunch going on, but fellowship, more specifically encouragement. Stinson Osif is when he's actually a part Navajo and part Pima. He became a Christian back in Kayenta on the Navajo reservation when Josh was preaching there. But he's part Pima. He's migrated to Phoenix. And so he's the one, he's sort of always been the backbone of this congregation. He's the one that gets them access when they need to use the community center, when they want to be on the reservation, whatever it is they want to do. He's always been the one that's able to do that. When we come out, he takes off work. He's just there with us, constantly helping us. And but something that was different about Stinson this time was Stinson's always smiling. I think he's smiling in that photo, but I didn't see Stinson smiling as much this trip, and I didn't see him right in the thick of things as much. He kind of seemed to be on the fringes a little bit, and so it was interesting later when Josh sort of explained to me what was going on. Just like we all do, we all have our ups and downs, and Stinson was sort of having a down, and so it was neat just to see our folks grab hold of him and spend that time encouraging him. So that's a part of what we do while we're out there. We're giving care to the missionaries. We're giving care to the workers, to the members, trying to help them to grow. She'll love me putting that photo in here. You get to the evening time, and the evening we were in a different community center on the reservation. Again, we've been out all day. We've been inviting folks to come to what our evening activities and what we're doing. And so you got time where folks are spending time with the kids. We're then, after we eat, we're going to have classes, like vacation Bible school type classes for the children. We've been knocking doors all day, inviting them to come out and hear Chad explain to them how to use their devices and how to understand their kids who are constantly using devices. Of course, you guys understand that because we've had that seminar here at Graymere as well. But that's what we're doing there in the evenings. This is an interesting photo, not because of Jerry, but because of the two guys that are on the other side, Wayne and Aaron. Wayne and his wife Susan's not there, but I talk about a barrier of them needing helpers, them needing workers, and the solution, it's Wayne and Susan and Aaron. It's interesting, these are all retired individuals. A lot of folks retire to relax. They seem to have retired to work. Again, when I think about the backbone of the Salt River Church, I think of Wayne and Susan. I think of Aaron. They're constantly, they've just committed themselves to nurturing new Christians. They've committed themselves to helping in any way they can. They've opened up their hearts. In many cases, they've literally opened up their homes and allowed people to live with them, people going through difficult times. They provide transportation. They provide Bible studies. They bring food. They teach and preach whenever Josh and Evan are away. Whatever it is that needs to be done, whoever it is that needs help, these families are the ones that have sort of stepped in and met or solved that problem that presented itself. A few more photos from our evening session. That's actually a photo of our last night there. We had ended the seminar, and so we had JD and Tyler Robinson sort of do a joint sermon. And that was interesting, both for us, but as well as for the local folks to see that. Of course, for us, seeing Tyler get up and share God's word, of course, was a blessing for us. Again, more encouragement. You got the vacation Bible school type classes on the left. You got another new couple of Christians that have or recently been converted that have come and become part of the church. You got Fred there sort of encouraging them and spending some time with them. Some of our young kids, again, spending a lot of time together. Mission trips are fun. Anybody who thinks a mission trip is all fun, then please come with us. There's a whole lot of work. But it is true, we do have a lot of fun. It's fun and it's encouraging when Christians are together. And I think that's true regardless of the age of the individuals that are together. So you get to another morning, we're back at the church building, we're ready for another devotional, we're ready to start another day's activities. Everybody smiles, they're always smiles in the morning, there are usually groans and grunts in the evening when they're tired and hot and sweaty. And this day was especially true because we had planned yard work. One of the members of the church there, you guys will remember Justin. Justin is a contact that we made on a previous trip that then became a Christian through Bible studies after we had left. But Justin's just overcome so much. He's had a difficult life. He's spent time in prison. He's spent struggles with addiction, still struggles with a lot of those types of things. But every day seems to be a struggle for Justin now because he's also undergoing treatment every day, whether it's dialysis for his kidney issues or cancer treatments for his cancer. Every day is spent in hospitals and in treatment centers. But yet, this man just loves the church. He's become a faithful follower of Christ. And that's as a result of our folks going out there and knocking on his door and inviting him to an activity. So we spent that day cleaning up his yard. It was just a way for us to let him know that we cared about him. So we had about 50 people out there with shovels, and we could not get the weed eater to work, so we did it by hand. And sometimes I wonder, what in the world are we going to do with 50 people that's going to take up the whole day? Because usually whatever task we have, 50 people take care of it in about 10 minutes, and then we sit around wondering, well, what's next? So we finally found the solution to that problem. We just don't let the weed eater work. And so they cleaned up his yard. And, of course, there's work for young and old. You got our teenagers there, and you got our young people there working to pull up all of these weeds. On our last day, another interesting activity that we do, this was our second time to do this, and that's grapefruit picking. If you've seen Josh Austin's home before, you notice that there's lots of grapefruit trees out front, and so they have to, our kids go over and pick the grapefruit. Well, what in the world does that have to do with a mission trip? Anything you can do to create a conversation with someone can be mission work. Anything you can do that can create a conversation about Jesus and about his church, hopefully about the gospel, then that can be mission work. And so that's the case with grapefruit. We load up a trailer of grapefruit, and then we go and deliver it. On this reservation, the reservation is, again, it's quite spread out. They've got fire departments, they've got police departments, they've got boys and girls clubs. So we go to lots of these different types of places, and we offer them free grapefruit. And so it was interesting, one of the contacts that we made this time going into the Boys and Girls Club, Josh Austin, of course, I left out some of his history. Of course, even though he was not a native growing up on a reservation, he led his high school basketball team to win the state championship. And that was the first native high school that had ever won a state basketball championship in Arizona. And so Josh is, among people around his age, he's still very much recognized. People know who he is. And so we go into the Boys and Girls Club, and Josh runs into two people who grew up on the reservation where he grew up. Two people that know who he is, and they're 300 miles away and years separated from when he had last seen them, but they still know who he is, and that creates a conversation. Well, what are you guys doing here? Handing out grapefruit. What are you doing now? Well, I'm preaching and planting this church in Phoenix. And as we walked out, he sort of elbowed me and said, that's why we do this kind of stuff. He said, we're just making contacts, kind of like Justin. We knocked on his door. We made a contact for the workers to follow up with. That day, by giving out grapefruit, we made some contacts that Josh can follow up with and hopefully get a Bible study with. Final aspect of our work is our work teams. Again, I wanted you to have the image in your mind of a wall coming down. There was a lot of work to do with this new space that we had rented. You see Cameron Tellis and Tyler Robinson, when you don't have all the real detailed skills when it comes to building projects, you get stuck pulling up carpet. So that was the case with those two. But they did a great job. You'll see a photo here in just a moment once all of that has been cleared out. Even jobs for our younger guys. You got Jay and Aiden there cleaning out stuff and carrying things to the dumpsters. So we got work for all ages. on these trips. Got Matt there. I think he was cleaning out some of the insulation. I think they had maybe a rat infestation problem. He solved it, so don't be afraid of going, making a visit out there. On the left, you see, again, some folks that look like their backs are hurting, look a little tired from pulling up the carpet. Here's the wall that's about to come down. I did not include the video in this, but if you like to see videos of stuff falling down, I think Chad put the video on our Facebook page. I checked this afternoon. It's still there. So if you'd like to see the wall falling, you can see that. What's interesting in that video was, I think in talking to John Compton, he's sort of on the falling side of the wall on the edge. And after the fact, he told me, you know, I didn't really know it was about to fall down. So luckily he got out of the way and he's still here with us tonight. But anyway, the wall came down. So that took a lot of work from our guys that were on the work team. Again, you got a Chad on the ride. He had some special projects on this trip. And on a previous trip, we'd put up a big screen and projectors, but they had become so cramped in the space that they couldn't use the screen every time it was down, well, that was space that could have been occupied by bodies. So we eliminated that problem by putting up some televisions so that they can do PowerPoint presentations and whatever other types of presentations they need. On the left, I think you see John explaining the intricacies of the Rubik's Cube to Aiden. I gotta tell you, I don't take any photos. I took one photo on this trip, so I stole all of these from everybody's Facebook pages. So thank you, everyone else, for taking photos. But that's the work team. That gives a good idea of our work projects. This is sort of the after photo. This is that same space you just saw. We sort of did the groundwork, and thanks to a generous donation by one of you, after we left, we were able to actually hire out the rest of the work. And that's what it looks like now, of course, minus all of the chairs and things that are in there. But so obviously, this was a great effort. A wall came down, but really a lot more barriers were overcome rather than just a physical wall. On our last night, this is the Navajo fry bread. If you've been out there before, you've had Navajo tacos. You know that's sort of the highlight. When the Native Americans start talking about Navajo tacos, they get really excited. When I hear tacos, I get excited. I don't care what kind of taco it is. But it's interesting. All of our folks love that night. They love getting that opportunity to make the fry bread. It's interesting to me, every culture that I've encountered in this world, they all have their own form of an unleavened bread. I think the Lord understood something about culture when He instituted unleavened bread as part of the Lord's Supper. And so that could certainly be the case as well with this type of bread. Also, just to show you a little bit of Arizona, we also have a tour day. It's not all work. We do some touring as well. We just show less photos of the fun day and more photos of the work. But we had an especially beautiful trip this year where we went up to Sedona and got to see, I think that's Bell Rock, got to see lots of the different rock formation, things that you've seen maybe in old westerns or maybe even in some modern movies as well. The girls are always ready to pose. That's our team photo. There's the one photo that I took all week. But just a wonderful group and a wonderful, wonderful work that we get to be a part of. But we're thinking about walls being torn down. In our mind, we're thinking, or maybe we're picturing that physical wall coming down. But so many walls have to be overcome in order to do mission work. We have to overcome barriers. But it's especially true that the recipient has to overcome some barriers as well. You know, what barriers are separating you from the love of Christ tonight? You think about Isaiah 59, verses 1 and 2, and also verse 8. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, or his ear dull that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear. The way of peace they do not know. Sin separates man from God, and man separated from God, that's a life without peace. And the older I get, the more I understand that it seems like people in this world are looking for peace. And the answer is in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the one who's made peace with God a possibility for us. In Ephesians 2, verses 14 through 16, he said, "For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility." What is it that's separating you from the love of God tonight? How can you be reunited with Christ tonight? The answer is the blood of Christ. When Jesus went to the cross, he made a sacrifice that made peace a real possibility for all men. It's possible there's someone here tonight that feels separated from the Lord, and maybe we can help you with prayer. It's possible there's one here tonight who's not yet been united with him by being buried with him in baptism for the forgiveness of sins. Whatever your need is, the message is the same in Columbia, Tennessee as it is in Arizona. It's the same here as it is in India or in any other part of the world. We invite you to come to Jesus tonight. Won't you come as we stand and sing?